have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
What are you doing in that little box, Ann? Why aren't we together?
Construction at the studio, construction at my house. I'm in a friend's house, and you're at home.
We're just happy to be with you.
Have better lighting. I have to figure that out.
I bought something called Day Light, and it's it makes things much brighter. But all right. And there's a lot of darkness in the world. In the news, Trump opened this week a Department of War and dropped America's defenses against disease and environmental devastation.
Obtaining the vaccinations you need just became 100% harder. Blue state governors, though, are scrambling to make it easier.
Trump's top aide calls Democrats a domestic terrorist group. His top aide.
They'll say anything. Trump's pick to fudge figures at the Bureau of Labor Statistics has a long history of bigoted attacks on women and LGBTQ people.
This doesn't seem to make any difference anymore.
No.
The NRA,
it's a recommendation for the job.
The NRA, the National Rifle Association, condemned Trump's bid to take gun rights away from transgender people.
Well, they want everybody to have guns. The late queer disability activist Stacy Park Milburn has now been featured on U.S. currency until, of course, the Trump people figure that out.
Wicked Texas Governor Abbott has defunded a national gay softball tournament in Houston, but Houston stepped up to the plate to save it.
It's nice to find a little blue spot in Texas. A Los Angeles man used dating apps to rob and kill gay men.
Terrible story. This week, we lost the owner of America's second oldest lesbian bar, continuous lesbian bar, and an international fashion icon.
Those are two separate people. The lesbian was not an international fashion icon.
No.
Although, why not? An American trans woman seeking asylum in the Netherlands was denied that asylum.
And we'll talk about the passing of a pioneering HIV researcher.
And a new venue has been found for artist Amy Sherald's American Sublime exhibit that the Smithsonian wanted to censor for its image of a trans woman as Liberty carrying the torch.
This would be the image.
Yes. Well, it's found many venues.
Yes. So that's the thing. All their suppression is drawing much more attention to these things, as with the banning of, you know, rainbows in Florida. More and more are springing up.
Yeah, so, but that's just signaling to their crowd that they're doing the right-wing stuff that their crowd wants them to do. So I don't think they really care about our reactions yet.
We want to welcome PEP Radio, an internet radio station that is part of the Pennsylvania Equality Project, to our Gay USA family. They'll be running our podcast on their station, and we welcome nonprofit stations that wish to carry us around the country. We will give you the show to run.
And the podcast is actually just this show, audio only.
Right.
So you don't have to look at us, but you get to hear the exact show.
How about that, RFK Jr.?
Yes, go ahead.
What a week. Well, I mean, look, he appeared before the Senate and the House, and he was grilled, it's so painful to watch all this stuff because it's so insane. And you finally have some Republicans criticizing him, but not doing anything about it. Now, they say that Trump, is unhappy with some of these things, but he's also afraid of losing RFK Jr.'s crazy anti-vax base.
Well, that's the thing, as with everything else that they're applauding. The base has very strange ideas, but he's cobbled together this support from every nook and cranny of right-wingism, and he can't afford to lose any of them.
I mean, you know, especially what he's doing on vaccines, on the COVID vaccine. Well, and obviously the mRNA cuts, which are appalling, because that's gonna make us more vulnerable to future outbreaks of diseases. But all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I would just go down to the corner to get my vaccine at the CVS. Make a little appointment, go in, get the shot. Now it's all very complicated and everything. A friend of ours from the movement, Chris Henley, he's in upstate New York. There he is. He goes in there, and all of a sudden they want to charge him $173.87 for something that he used to get for free. He's 62, diabetic, asthmatic, hypertension, epilepsy. You know, he had to get it, so he had to pay the price. Now, so what's happening? Western states are stepping up. Governor Hochul is standing up, signing an executive order. They're all saying, we're going to make it happen. I don't know how the costs are going to get covered. They're saying things like, even though we may have had restrictions before that said, you know, if the federal government isn't doing it, then you can't do it. She's saying, yes, you can, basically.
Well, the problem in Chris's case and for many others across the nation is that it is now COVID vaccine is now not in the New York State formulary,
right,
which is the list of approved drugs that insurance companies are then required to cover. So his insurance company rejected him for this, and that's why he ends up paying $173 for this. Now, Chris is actually quite well known as an activist in New York City for his days in ACT UP, when he was someone who was dragged into the back of a police station as we were demonstrating out front and beaten viciously by the police and ended up with brain damage and all sorts of, injuries. It took him a long, long, long time to recover. And he's the last person who should be treated like this. But he always comes to mind when we're talking about the ICE arrests or let's get more cops on the street. Well, not if they're going to act like the guys who beat up Chris Henley. Right. So we really want Chris well taken care of. And this is just shameful.
So Governor Hochul in New York did do an executive order, and State Senator Brad Holman has a bill that authorizes all this to happen if they need legislation. So again, this is what is having to happen in Massachusetts and all the decent states to protect people from COVID and other diseases.
Yes, because they're not sanctioning any of them, and they're not paying for any of them. And so this is the start of the downhill slide, which is only going to accelerate.
Right. Put up this picture of Stephen Miller. On August 25th, he gave an interview to Sean Hannity saying the Democratic Party, he called it the Democrat Party, does not fight for, care about, or represent American citizens. It's an entity devoted exclusively to the defense of hardened criminals, gangbangers, and illegal alien killers and terrorists. The Democrat Party is not a political party. It's a domestic extremist organization. And yet, you see, that's him. Is that him on the right or the left? Oh, that's him on the right. Of course, that's Goebbels on the left, the Hitler's lieutenant, who he models himself on, obviously, and styles himself on. Yet he still has a high government job and is often described within MAGA world as the prime minister.
Well, Trump repeatedly cites him as his biggest influence and as the person who he turns to most for policy decisions. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that this guy has such power and can say things like this and no one is forcing him out of office or out of the White House.
Well, just to remind you, in the last Trump administration, he got a job too, and he was so extreme that they had to get rid of him. They had to fire him out of the White House. None of that
happened. Well, that's because there were still some people in the White House working for Trump who were not liberals, but those generals and others who would just say, no, this is a bridge too far. We can't do this. No one is left to say that.
Like General Milley, at one of these ICE raids, people were blasting General Milley's speech at them, I think it was at West Point, about not succumbing to tyrants and all that kind of thing. And of course, there are reports that the people being made to do these jobs, I don't know about so much about the ICE people, but certainly the National Guard people, are depressed about it, are hating what they're having to do. Now,
well,
you say,
I have very little sympathy. You're depressed. You don't like doing it. Quit.
We need more of that, and we hope they will quit. Let's talk about the rest of Trump's week. E. Jean Carroll's $83 million judgment against him was upheld in court, a federal appeals court. He's going to the Supreme Court to get that overturned. We'll see, because they've been giving him everything else. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't gone to the Supreme Court yet, but it was.
He also complained, crime statistics would be much more down, but it's illegal for men to beat their wives, and that drives them up. Trump.
Yes,
week.
I know. Let's look. And the Supreme Court did, maybe as a harbinger for what it will do with these cases when they get to them. But the Supreme Court, in a very, lightly written decision, says that it's okay for racial profiling to be used in ICE arresting and deporting people. Sotomayor was quite eloquent in saying, "I dissent to all this." But
if you can pull that up, she said,
"We should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work a low-wage job, rather than stand idly by while our constitutional freedoms are lost." I dissent.
So, protests continue.
She went on The View and said the same thing because she has a book out.
We need more people speaking out. Of course, don't forget, Project 2025 is coming out with a new blueprint for the judiciary. And it's written by a guy, I'm forgetting his name, who has called for Justice Roberts to step down. He's much too liberal. And he says that Amy Coney Barrett is a horror show and she's got to go too. And who wrote the introduction to this? Now, that's something he's written elsewhere, but he's the author of this new blueprint to make the judiciary even more conservative. And who wrote the introduction to this report? Justice Alito.
Well,
for a guy who's calling for the, getting rid of his colleagues.
Well, now that the Heritage Foundation has accomplished more than half of its Project 2025 blueprint, they have another plan in the works that they're about to publish, and it's called We Must Save the American Family. And it's a Manhattan project to restore the nuclear family. They want the goal to be to produce more children to avoid societal collapse in, I'm sure, only married heterosexual families. They want to do things like destroy Head Start, totally defund Head Start, and give the money to individuals to stay home and raise children. They want to evaluate government programs as pro or anti-family and fund them or not accordingly.
It was great to see the governor of New Mexico say, "We're going to have universal daycare in my state." And of course, Mom Donnie, who's running for mayor of New York, says you need it. I mean, daycare has been taken over by big corporations that are milking people and making it impossible, impossibly expensive for people. So government taking this over is a great thing.
Well, I'm sure the Heritage Foundation will want to take that money and give it back to individual families to get away from the communist plot of daycare.
Well, if you're in the mood for protesting President Trump, and it was nice to see someone speak up in the restaurant that he was eating at the other day in Washington, he's speaking at the UN on September 23rd, and you can join Rise and Resist for a shutdown Trump demo. Now, they're going to meet on the steps of the New York Public Library at 7:30 a.m. and march to the UN checkpoints. More details are going to be coming. We have a lot of details in our email. And so sign up for our email at gayusatv.org, and you can just click on there and sign up for the email. You get a weekly list of what's on the show and these extras. And then, as I think we said last week, No King's Day is back nationwide on Saturday, October 18th. So Google 50501 demonstrations. And again, we'll link to this in our email. But already, you know, hundreds of cities have sponsored demos.
It was code pink that went into the restaurant to yell at Trump. There were demonstrators outside, but the women of code pink just made a dinner reservation at the restaurant when they found out he was going.
How did they know about it? Oh, that must have been an inside source. Maybe an illegal immigrant in the kitchen told them.
Well, maybe it was published somewhere, but they were in the restaurant. They were very close to him, and they just got up and started yelling at him.
And you saw him get booed at the U.S. Open tennis.
Oh, that was beautiful.
What a pig. I mean, everybody
what a pig the USTA, the Tennis Association, telling news organizations not to broadcast reactions to Trump.
Well, absolutely. But people did react to him. And of course, at the end of the match, it was joyous. You know, the two opponents, Alcaraz and Sinner, embraced and walked off together. Everybody was happy, joyous. And then they panned onto Trump and he's like, he's just grimacing. He's not applauding. He's not having a good time. It's pathetic. There's no joy in his life.
Yes, and I wanted to know his why he was reacting like that.
Well, because a Spanish guy won.
Well, that was my assumption, but Sinner is Italian, which is, you know.
Well, anyway.
Also European.
Fights are breaking out in the Trump administration. This is unbelievable. It's our pugilistic, out-gay Treasury Secretary there on the right, Mr. Besant, versus Bill, how do you say his name?
Pulte.
Pulte. They're having disagreements over territory and what Pulte is saying to the publicly about him, and they're fighting over these kinds of things. So, you know, Besant says to Pulte, I am going to punch you in the effing face. And they have this is at a big fancy dinner meeting. People had to separate them. When the owner of the club intervened, Besant said, it's either me or him. You tell me who's getting the F out of here, or we could go outside. And do what? He says, no, I'm going to effing beat your ass. I mean, this is the way they were talking to each other in front of all these top people in the administration.
Well, what's particularly shocking is that it's Scott Besant, who we thought of as a pretty ineffectual, weak guy.
Well, he is covetous of his territory. I mean, he apparently got into a scrape with Musk and left him wounded. By the way, Bill Pulte is the one accusing the Fed governor, Lisa Cook, of fraud. And a federal judge this week said, no, she can keep her job while all this is adjudicated.
Yes, which leaves her in position to vote with the Fed chair or however next week when the next rate cut comes up for a discussion.
Okay.
So we have another great nominee coming into the administration, perhaps, in that Bureau of Labor Statistics job that Trump got rid of the head of that because the former head was telling the truth about what was going on with the job situation in the U.S. So he's going to nominate E.J. Antoni, who is from the Heritage Foundation. There he is on the left.
And by the way, on the right in the photo is the World Cup that Trump purloined. Thank you, Rich, our director, for pointing that out.
Well, did he purloin it? This is sitting there. The World Cup is coming to the U.S. next year.
But he did not get his paws on the U.S. Open trophy.
Well, that's a little different. But yes, he's displaying the World Cup because it's gold until the competition takes place next year. Anyway, Antoni is the nominee for the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and he has a large reputation for sexually misogynist posts all over the place.
And when Arizona Senator John McCain died in 2018, Antoni tweeted, "I like a senator who doesn't die." I mean, this guy is just scum. It's just scum.
They all are.
They are. In March 2020, he dismissed LGBTQ people's existence, writing, "There is only one sexual orientation. Everything else is a disorientation." And he made bigoted posts, sexually graphic anti-gay posts about Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper, both this, who were CNN anchors, both of whom are gay. By the way, speaking of the Department of Labor, they're now using Nazi-influenced posters and homoerotic to boot for their new program, apprenticeship.gov. This one pictures a pretty young white man and says, "Build your homeland's future." I mean,
all it's missing is the swastika.
Unbelievable. They want 1 million active apprentices. Okay.
Well, it's yes, and the list goes on. So then, for those who are in office, they're now throwing them out of office, and our Department of War, if that's what we must call it, chief.
No, we don't have to call it that. It's not officially that.
Okay, good. Defense Department Secretary Pete Hegseth has now fired a Navy commander doctor, deputy director for trans healthcare, because the libs of TikTok complained about her once they realized she existed. Janelle Mara, in 2018, she was named the top female military doctor. So Hegseth has fired her and has been posting about it. And this post says, "Pronouns updated, she, her, fired."
Well, somebody who's a lawyer in these situations said, "Anything as innocuous as a pride flag can cause a federal investigation now or people to lose their jobs."
Yes.
And they're trying to create fear. And they don't want trans people to defend themselves. The Justice Department is discussing proposals to block transgender Americans from buying firearms. This is a serious thing. You know, they say it's prompted by the Minneapolis shooting that did involve a trans woman, which of course is very rare, but the NRA is not having it. They said the Second Amendment is not up for debate, and we support the rights of all law-abiding Americans to purchase, possess, and use firearms.
Well, I guess we'll find out the strength of the NRA. And lest you think this is confined to relevant areas of discussion, the U.S. House has passed the Energy and Water Development Bill, which includes a license to discriminate for religious liberty excuses and forbids funds for flying pride flags. What does this have to do with energy and water development, you ask? Ask them.
Now, again, these are House bills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Senate has to go along with it. And, you know, the question is whether you got, enough Democrats filibustering to stop crap like that. All right.
The DOJ, of course, just as a footnote to the last one, wants to bar trans people from owning guns because they are automatically defining all trans people as mentally ill. And that's how they are disqualifying them from owning guns. And the Williams Institute, in the understatement of the week, says that federal erasure of trans people will severely hamper good data collection on the population. Yes, well, it will.
Speaking of resistance, in Orlando, the Democratic prosecutor there is going to review if the state has wrongly arrested people, redrawing the Pulse crosswalk in rainbow chalk. This is Monique Worrell, who has sparred with Governor DeSantis before. He suspended her once before. She said, the rainbow crosswalk is more than a street marking. It is a memorial to the 49 lives taken at Pulse and a symbol of love and resilience for our community. It's removal.
Don't tell them that. That'll really get it erased.
Its removal has sparked deep emotion, and we recognize the significance. So she's looking at that. And then also in St. Petersburg, LGBTQ Love Thy Neighbor murals are being put up everywhere on private property, you see. You can see them there on garages, on driveways, on everything. In response to the order from the governor to get rid of these things from the streets. And so again, people are going to see more rainbows, not fewer rainbows, based on what DeSantis has done.
Yeah, there's a group called Art Fluent that will do the painting for free. And they're doing it in Tampa Bay, too. So it's spreading. The guy in D.C. who threw a Subway sandwich, there he is, at ICE or National Guard people, is a gay man named Sean Dunn, who is a DOJ paralegal. He had been barred from going into a... Oh, no, wait, that's a separate story. No, right. It's not. Well,
that's Sean Dunn.
Yes, exactly.
He's the sandwich guy. You know, he yelled at, you've seen this, he yelled at these ICE guys and he threw his Subway sandwich out. And of course, Jeanine Pierre, this has become a banner everywhere. It's sort of a Banksy-like thing of him throwing this thing. They were carrying this in the D.C. march this past week as well.
You can buy merchandise with this image. I myself have ordered two T-shirts with this image. I'll wear them on the show.
The T-shirts say things like "one small sub for man, one giant gesture for democracy," and they are selling briskly. Now, of course, Jeanine Pirro tried to indict him, and of course, in Washington, these grand jurors are sitting there, and again, it's very easy to indict people, but they're just saying, no, we're not. She wanted a 10-year sentence for him.
Well, he's in court being indicted, and he says, I did it. I threw a sandwich.
And by the way, Trump is out there saying, oh, everything is great now, and, everybody goes out. It's unbelievable. In the corridor where they were doing all these crackdowns, the owners of the gay bars, Pitchers and A League of Her Own and Adams Morgan, said it's like a desert. Thursdays are all local, but Fridays and Saturdays we get people from out of town and we have none of them. It's awful. He estimates a loss of 7,000 in a single night, and it's not sustainable.
And the gay guy who threw the sandwich, a SWAT team was sent to his apartment, raided his apartment, and then posted video of the raid of his apartment. for throwing a sandwich.
And again, you know, Trump says everybody's going out, but they're not going to the Kennedy Center.
He lies about everything. Every single thing that comes out of his mouth is lies.
Ticket sales at Kennedy Center after his takeover have plummeted. They've scheduled the prestigious Stuttgart Ballet for next month, and they've sold. But you have that graphic there, Rich. There it is. They've sold. It's less than 20% full. The German government is like, well, maybe we're going to cancel this because it's insane. All the bookings are off. Subscription revenue is down 50%. They've lost 1.6 million in subscription sales, roughly 36% compared to 2024. So he's destroyed the place.
In the military section of the government, the West Point has canceled an honors ceremony, West Point alumni, for Tom Hanks. And I have reservations about honoring Tom Hanks for that. But Trump is thrilled because calls this an important move.
Against the woke.
Yes, exactly. And meanwhile, the Defense Department has canceled coverage of trans care for kids under their TRICARE program. Three of the kids are suing, but all care, doctors, prescriptions, everything has been immediately ended. No, and that's for not only military personnel, but this is for their dependents. And that's all gone immediately in one day.
Well, see, the problem with being woke or awake is if you are awake, you're very much against what's happening today.
Exactly. A district court has ordered those six people who were applying for passports, trans and non-binary, and they've been going back and forth with court decisions. Well, the district court has now ordered that the State Department issue the passports in the correct gender identification that these people are currently using, and issued a preliminary injunction against the government's attempt to stop the issuing of those passports.
Okay. The feds down in Alabama have indicted a lawyer from Lambda Legal, Carl Charles. He's facing a felony charge of making a false declaration to the investigating judicial panel. This case has been bouncing around for a long time. He's obviously pleaded not guilty to it. They're harassing him. It's sort of related to a judge shopping case. Lambda said it's totally unjustified. And for more than 3 years, he's been subjected to unprecedented and abusive judicial proceedings, smearing his character and undermining his role in fighting for our rights.
Well, they said that he was judge shopping for a case in Alabama that involved trans issues. Yeah. And as if the entire Trump administration doesn't, and right wing in the United States doesn't, engage in judge shopping every single day, going to that judge in Texas who has made all the rulings for them and occasioned the Supreme Court decision about whether a decision like that could be applied nationally. So they accused him of judge shopping, but his current indictment is not about that. It's about saying he lied about whether he'd made a phone call. He says, frankly, I didn't remember it. And then I was reminded of it. And I said, yes, I did. But they've indicted him.
In Denver, again, more resistance. The schools there are defying Trump's bathroom ban. The superintendent there says, we will protect all of our students from this hostile action. His name is Dr. Alex Marrero. He's the superintendent. He says, we will continue to stand in solidarity as you engage this weekend and beyond. And I just want to let you know that we got you and everything is going to be okay. Now, they are risking losing some, federal money. I mean, Linda McMahon.
A lot of federal money.
Well, the Secretary of Education, said that Title IX mandates discrimination against transgender students in bathrooms and says you've got to abolish gender-neutral restrooms, classify transgender students by their assigned sex at birth rather than their gender identity, and institute this ban. And of course, most of the funding that they're going to cut supports programs such as, reduced price lunches for low-income children.
Abandoned gender-neutral bathrooms. Every single one of us, I believe, in our homes have gender-neutral bathrooms. And the idea that the government would call that inappropriate is insane. But my favorite little footnote of the week is Eric Adams, the mayor of New York.
What did he do now? You're talking.
The idea of offering him
the
ambassadorship to Saudi Arabia, of all places, and that he might accept that because he wants to live the life of luxury. And if he goes to Saudi Arabia, he's going to have cushy digs and not a lot to do.
You can't drink over there, can he?
Look, they do what they want to do. They just do it privately. But the idea that he would accept the job of ambassador to Saudi Arabia is...
This is why he's 9% in the polls.
Exactly.
All the polls. By the way, I mentioned Denver schools standing up. Brown, yes. Columbia, and Penn, and multiple hospitals serving trans youth, have already capitulated and have signed away protections through bathroom and sports bans or cutting off medical care entirely.
I don't know if they think this is going to be temporary and they just don't want to get into a fight. Texas A&M is in the middle of a fight because a right-wing student, obviously, stood up in a class and started yelling at the professor, "You're teaching gender ideology. That's illegal. You can't teach that. It's illegal." And she got the teacher fired. The dean and the department head who stood up for the teacher have been removed from their jobs. The legislature is in an uproar because they're all right-wing Republicans, and most of them, not all of them, of course, the Democrats are fighting back, and they want the school president fired, and they secretly videotaped this hit job on the professor.
And if you're not following it, we can announce the death of CBS News. The new ownership has hired Kenneth Weinstein or Steen, a former executive of the right-wing think tank, the Hudson Institute, to review complaints about its coverage, to be its ombudsperson and oversee the news. And also Barry Weiss is going to take a senior editorial role. She's a right-winger.
Did she? I think they wanted to, but I don't think they've given it to her.
Oh, yet. They're in talks to do that. But the point is, it's over for CBS. Sorry, you're in a little
I guess I was prescient when I quit my job there in 1987, calling them intellectually bankrupt.
Well, now it's complete. How about some good news? The late disability justice co-founder and activist Stacey Park Milburn, who identified as queer, is the first woman in a wheelchair featured on U.S. currency and the first person whose wheelchair is actually shown. And so they had a big ceremony at the Smithsonian about this. So she's on the American Women in Quarters program. So, good for her. She has quite a story. She's passed away.
Yep. She died in 2020 at the age of 33. And not only is there the wheelchair, but if you look really closely, you can see there's the tracheostomy tube also. Portrayed there. So it's a great image and shocking that the government did it. I think this must have been okayed in the Biden administration.
Well, she grew up, of course, dependent on her family for a lot of her care, but they weren't too happy about her being queer. And when she tried to move out, that became quite a challenge. But she served in disability rights leadership roles for 16 years, and she was instrumental in writing and passing the North Carolina law, establishing October as Disability History and Awareness Month and requiring teaching about disability in the schools. She had an amazing life.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure and a treat to read about her. And then on a lighter note, Sue Bird, the great legendary basketball player, was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And somehow they got the subject got a little changed. And she says, "As for soccer players, I didn't become one, but I scored one." Her wife is Megan Rapinoe. Very clever, Sue.
And staying on the sports theme, Texas Governor Greg Abbott refused to support a national gay softball tournament that was set for Houston, which they'd funded in the past. And so Harris County commissioners there approved a $500,000 grant to the International Pride Softball to host the Gay Softball World Series there. And that's going to take place September 21st to 27th and draw up teams from 55 cities and 3,000 athletes.
Nice.
And 2,000 spectators.
In the political world, out gay Democrat Chris Pappas may have more of a fight on his hands in New Hampshire for the Senate seat. He is probably going to be facing former representative, now lobbyist and right winger John Sununu, who the Republicans are drawing out of the whatever he's in. Yeah, to
a grim story out of L.A. about a man who used dating apps to rob and kill gay men. Can we go to that video report?
Yeah.
And two local men murdered. Investigators say both were lured to their deaths through an online dating app. And the man now under arrest and charged with their murders is well known to police for a string of previous burglaries in which he wore a mask to hide his identity. Eyewitness News reporter Michelle Fisher has more on how detectives connected all the dots. Michelle.
Mark, when someone goes online looking for love, the last thing they might expect is violence. The LA County District Attorney's Office now charging a local man for a murder spree, seemingly luring in his victims with the cruel bait and switch.
This man, 34-year-old Rakim Prowell of Inglewood, on Monday was charged with murdering two men and attempting to kill another after connecting with all three of the alleged victims on a dating app.
It was set at no bail.
Prowell hidden as he appeared before a judge in a downtown Los Angeles courtroom today as the LA County District Attorney released details of his alleged murder spree. Investigators say Prowell's first victim was Miguel Angel King. They met up on July 20th, 2021, after connecting through an online dating app. Prowell accused of fatally shooting King and stealing his car. King's remains were discovered in the Angeles National Forest 3 weeks later. Then 2 years after that, on August 21st, 2023, investigators say Prowell made plans with 53-year-old Robert Gutierrez, who he also met through the same dating app. Gutierrez's family reporting him missing 2 days later. His body never discovered, investigators locating his car in Prowell's garage when he was arrested last week. A third unidentified 40-year-old victim, investigators say, met up with Prowell earlier this year on February 22nd. The pair also connecting online. Prowell accused of binding the victim, beating him with a bat, and stealing his wallet. The victim managing to escape, but investigators allege Prowell chased him with a car, hit him, breaking his leg. And take a look at this security footage of what appears to be a white man, but it's really a masked Rakim Prowell wearing the disguise he used during a series of burglaries across Los Angeles between 2019 and 2021, a crime Prowell is currently on probation for.
Prowell currently being held with no bail, with his arraignment now set for next month. If convicted, Prowell faces life in prison without parole or the death penalty. The DA's office saying a decision on whether to seek the death penalty will come at a later date.
Wow.
There are too many stories like that.
And it's a reminder that if you use apps, and I'm not blaming the victims here, but, you know, don't invite people to your home. Meet them at a place where other people are around and you can introduce them, so that they're less likely to kill you.
Yes. And we told you last week about a violent attack in York, Pennsylvania, outside a bar called the Gift Horse Brewing Company. Verbal fight within the bar, and then the victims left, but the haters, the anti-LGBTQ haters, followed them and violently attacked them. Gay people these are the people who were attacked.
Vane and Brady Pappas.
Yeah. guy has been arrested for beating them now. They're drag performers. And that was some of the verbal fight.
Ballroom legend. Ballroom legend Carmen Wells, 37, a black trans woman, was killed in Detroit in May. Her killer remains unidentified.
She was a fashion model. She was legendary for her ballroom walking. The killer stole her phone, and she was killed at home by someone who was described as a potential date.
And this is what you'd call a cold case. Aubrey Dameron, a young Cherokee transgender woman from Oklahoma, was killed. Well, she disappeared in 2019, never seen again. Her remains were found back in this January, but they still have not solved this case. It was the FBI who classified her case as a homicide and criticized the earlier investigation. I don't know about this FBI, but that's the old FBI. She was enrolled in the Cherokee Nation and also of Delaware descent, and identified as Two-Spirit and as Indigenous Cherokee woman.
And then tell us about Richmond, Virginia, while I get a call.
Well, sure. Use your cough button. Vicki Hester, who was the owner of America's second oldest lesbian bar, Babes of Carytown in Richmond, has died at the age of 71. She opened the Babes in 1987 as a steakhouse, or it opened as a steakhouse, but it soon became a gathering spot for lesbians and the LGBTQ community. Held a 47th anniversary party in April, and she was a much beloved figure there in Richmond. James Milner, the director of Virginia Pride, called her a pillar of the LGBTQ Richmond community, and she opened her doors and her heart to uplift the community she loved dearly. She understood that queer spaces are sacred, not just as places to socialize, but as places of community. She is survived by her wife, Ashley Ruger Hester, and the entire team at Babes, 71.
Died of cancer. On a happier note, although certainly a surprise, you mentioned Columbia, Brown, Harvard, whatever the university is capitulating. And we've heard a lot about the acting president at Columbia U, Claire Shipman, a former journalist at ABC. Well, there's Claire on the right at a podium, and on the left, her fiance, Katie Jo Spisak, 41, who runs a sports agency now. She's a former soccer star and coach, and they announced their engagement.
Well, Shipman used to be married to Jay Carty, who was Obama's press secretary, and they had two children. Spisak is the goalkeeper for three pro soccer teams and now runs a sports agency.
Mark your calendars for October 18th, where in Philadelphia, the Museum of American History is opening an exhibit around the 250th anniversary of the U.S., and it will include a section on LGBTQ history, helped by legendary activist in Philadelphia, Mark Siegel. So it's nice that some museum is still doing LGBTQ history.
International news?
Yes.
Yeah, the fashion icon, you all read about it probably, Giorgio Armani, has died at 91. What can we say? I mean, his work is so renowned, but he was gay.
Which he realized when he fell for a camp counselor.
Well, he had a longstanding relationship with his business partner, the fashion designer Sergio Galeotti, who died of complications from AIDS in 1985. And in 1975, it was Galeotti who persuaded Armani, who'd been working as a freelancer, to open his own company and served as his financial advisor. And he had another partner later in life. But, I mean, his company was valued at more than 8.7 billion euros.
Some of it, he gained some of his first renown for dressing Richard Gere and company in American Gigolo.
Yes.
And others, but yeah, stunning. Stunning clothes, stunning guy.
And we've been telling you that trans people in America especially are seeking asylum elsewhere. And Veronica Clifford Carlos, 28, a trans artist, went to the Netherlands from San Francisco hoping to win it, and she was denied.
She says,
I have people screaming faggot at me in the street. I have people threatening my life, threatening to assault me, threatening to follow me home and kill my family, because people have been so revved up by Trump and MAGA. And I mean that literally. But the Netherlands still considers the United States safe and says no. So she's appealing that ruling.
Okay. But the House of Representatives in the Netherlands has just voted to forbid conversion therapy. There are some little twists and turns to it, but now it goes to the Senate there for a vote. We'll see what happens.
And bans on conversion therapy in the United States are going to be heard by the Supreme Court of the United States this year. In Poland, the hard right politician Dawid Zostak has quit his anti-LGBTQ Confederation Party after revealing that he's dating an intersex model. He said he's in a relationship with Poland's next top model finalist, Mikalina Manios, who was raised as a boy until the age of 18. They met on a dating site and they bonded over their mutual Catholic and traditional values.
Well, that's interesting. You know, it's situational ethics. When it happens to you, suddenly you're.
He quit his party over it. And then.
But he was a member of that party until he was dating her, and then he changed.
Go ahead.
The Legislative Council has rejected an attempt to give some rights to same-sex couples, like collecting your deceased partner's remains. No, that's not allowed. Or visit them in the hospital. That's not allowed. Or register an overseas union. I suspect that was the fly in the ointment.
In Vatican City, every 25 years, they have these big sort of pilgrimages. And this year, they did welcome 1,400 LGBTQ pilgrims from 20 countries to Rome to this service at Chiesa del Gesù, the largest Jesuit church. And, you know, so apparently people being welcomed to this were in tears, feeling very accepted. And the language that was used at the service was welcoming, but not exactly affirming of gay love. And that's, you know, kind of the issue that I have about it.
I'm not against incrementalism, but crumbs are hard to take.
Yeah. The Pope didn't attend, but he allowed this to happen. You know, I talked to my friend, the gay Catholic priest, Bernard Lynch, and he said, you know, these gestures hardly make up for the soul murder of gay people, especially during the AIDS crisis.
And since you mentioned Bernard, a story from London where the CEO of the Pride March and festivities is being investigated for misuse of funds, harassment of staff, and creating a toxic culture in the organization.
Has nothing to do with my friend Bernard.
No.
All right. We go to AIDS news?
Yes, because we have about 5 minutes left.
There was an HIV funding rally at the U.S. Capitol. We have a picture of that. Cuts equal death. Stop the cuts. PEPFAR cuts equal death. But there you are. And then we lost the molecular biologist, Dr. David Baltimore, whose early discoveries paved the way to understanding HIV and to treating it. He died at the age of 87. He was a Nobel Prize winner at the age of 37. He basically discovered reverse transcriptase, which was the breakthrough for studying all these things. Of course, it's all going to be put back in the closet. And he
throughout his life, he urged people to get more involved in AIDS research and to study it. And so he saved millions of lives.
But was ignored by many. He was a relentless advocate for the research and for people with AIDS and tried to get his colleagues more interested, telling them they had to do this research. It was crucially important, and they ignored it. Okay. And congratulations to Mark King, winner of the NLGGA Journalist Hall of Fame Award. And he gave a great speech, which we will link to in our show note.
We will. Entertainment news. Anybody watch the MTV Video Music Awards?
Well, Sabrina, I did.
Sabrina Carpenter, did her song Tears with a backup group of drag performers all carrying pro-trans signs and Trans We Trust, Dolls, Dolls, Dolls. We will link to her performance along with that of, why don't you tell us about Conan Gray?
Conan Gray, who gave the gayest performance of the night of his song Vodka Cranberry, which he did as a Romeo and Juliet piece. And
Romeo and Romeo.
Yes, that's a male lover on the beer and him prostrating himself over it. And it was a huge hit as the performance of the night at the VMAs.
Maybe I should have said Romeo and Mercutio. Baltimore Museum of Art is going to be the next stop for Amy Sherald's exhibit, November 3rd to April 5th. This is the one that the Smithsonian put the kibosh on because of her trans art. And so it's going to be there. And also the Human Rights Campaign is going to honor her at their national dinner in Washington.
Yes, along with Wes Moore and Sarah McBride, who are the keynote speakers. That sold out, that dinner.
Kudos to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I was there the other day to get out of the rain, and I stumble upon Casa Susana, an exhibit, photos from the resort and refuge for cross-dressing men, non-gay men, in the 1960s in the Catskills. And that's going to be there through January 25th. These are photographs that they took of each other to normalize their cross-dressing that these non-gay men used to do. Harvey Firestone did a play about it called Casa Valentina, which was pretty good about, 2014 or so.
Charlie Sheen has a new autobiography out where he talks about having sex with men starting when he was on crack. Yes. And he says, I flipped the menu over, which I thought was interesting.
I didn't need crack to get going with that. Jonathan Bailey reveals that he's taking a break from acting to work for the Shameless Fund, which for LGBTQ causes, and it raises money for a lot of important aspects.
It connects corporations and nonprofit organizations. Billy Porter is out of Cabaret with severe sepsis. They're closing the show down. And Roxane Gay, whose house I can see from the window here, is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award for outstanding service to the American literary community.
And we won't see you next week.
I am taking a couple of weeks off, and I'll be back after that.